Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by Pastor Tracy Harold.
Thank you, Brother Brian. Open your Bible tonight, please, to the book of Psalms, Psalm 143. Psalms 143, last Sunday night we started a new series. We've been talking about prayer, we've been dealing in the subject of prayer. This sermon, this next few weeks will go along that, we'll kind of run parallel with that because it's a prayer that David is praying to the Lord. He is running for his life, he is being pursued, perhaps he's thinking it's almost over because there are those that hate him. There are those that want him dead. Saul has tried to kill him. His son Absalom has turned on him. David, absolutely, as we'll see in this passage, he's overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed with life. And, of course, with David in the context, fearing for his life, you could often say that maybe even in your life, that sometimes it's overwhelming. You know, when you think about the word overwhelmed, when you think about overwhelming, what does it mean? It means there's several different definitions that I looked up. It says to overcome completely in mind or feeling, to overpower the thoughts, emotions, or senses of, and it also means to surge over and submerge like a wave. When a person gets overwhelmed in life, and also keep in mind, and I said this to you last Wednesday night, but I hope you hear my heart on this. Going through trials that get overwhelming does not mean that God doesn't love you. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love you. I think sometimes, you know, people will say, well, preacher, you know, I just can't believe God will allow me to go through this. Well, he loves you. He loves you unconditionally. Your love, his love for you and I is not based on our performance. And you say, what happens if you're not handling the trial too well? Well, get even closer to him. Get even closer to the Lord in the difficult times when you think you can't take another breath. So how do you pray when you can't take another step? Well, in Psalm 143, please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's holy word. How do you pray when you can't take another step? And we're going to look right out of this passage tonight. Psalm 143, verse 1. David writes, he says, hear my prayer, O Lord. Now that's a pretty bold statement. Hear my prayer, O Lord. I mean, he's talking to God, but then he's going to tell us why he's saying that. And it's based on a couple of reasons. He says, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. In thy faithfulness, answer me. And in thy righteousness, and enter not into judgment with thy servant. For in thy sight shall no man living be justified. For the enemy hath persecuted my soul. Look at it now. We see a man. We sense a man that's absolutely overwhelmed with a situation. The enemy hath persecuted my soul. He hath smitten my life, verse 3, down to the ground. He hath made me to dwell in darkness as those that have been long dead. That's pretty desperate. Therefore is my spirit overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is desolate. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all thy works. I muse on the work of thy hands. I stretch forth my hands unto thee. My soul thirsteth after thee as a thirsty land. Selah. Hear me speedily, O Lord. My spirit faileth. Hide not thy face from me, lest I be like unto them that go down into the pit. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Deliver me, O Lord, from mine enemies. And then look at verse 9. I flee unto thee to hide me. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Quicken me, O Lord, for thy name's sake. For thy righteousness' sake, bring my soul out of trouble. And of thy mercy, cut off mine enemies and destroy all them that afflict my soul. And then notice how he ends it. For I am thy servant. Father, we love you. We pray your blessings on the reading of your word. God, I ask that your Holy Spirit will teach us, will guide us, will lead us, Lord. And may we learn from a great man who you said was a man after your own heart. So, Father, we love you in Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Praying when you can't take another step. An outcry. Someone said this passage of Scripture is an outcry of an overwhelmed spirit. You know, James, as we looked at James last week, and I'm just going to remind you of what we talked about last week, how James says, count it all joy when you go through diverse temptations. Of course, diverse means various, multifaceted, multicolored. Trials comes in all, they come in all shapes and sizes. There is no cookie cutter trial, if you will. What may be a trial in your life, the other individual may be going through a different type of trial. Your trial may be physical, their trial may be emotional, their trial may be another situation. But regardless of it, the trial may overwhelm you. You see, yeah, but preacher, if we truly love Jesus, and then this is a lie that is absolutely perpetrated throughout this world and in religious circles, and they'll say things like, well, if we really love Jesus, then we're going to have the faith and we shouldn't get down because of our trials. Let me just go on record and say something for you. Remember also that we're human. Can I get a witness in the building? And because you get overwhelmed in the middle of a trial does not mean you're not spiritual. Amen? It doesn't mean, because as I said in the prayer tonight, David, God said of David, he was a man after God's own heart, and yet here is a man after God's own heart. He's overwhelmed in a situation. You say, yeah, but preacher, there was sin in his life that may have caused this. Please understand this. Here, did you hear me earlier tonight, and you've heard me say this 100 times, that God's love for us is not based on our performance? Now, having said that, you say, well, preacher, well, why do you constantly say that? Because even in the midst, let me back this up. My English teacher be upset with me, but I want to back it up for a minute. I want to give you a thought on something. Pastor, what happens when we get overwhelmed if it's because of sin? There may be those who say, well, they made their bed, let them lie in it. You know, I'm thankful to my God that he doesn't do that to me. I'm thankful that God doesn't say, you made your bed, you lie in it, son. Learn from it, and I'm going to turn my back on you. By the way, that's terrible parenting. Any parent that would say something to a child and say, well, you know, you messed up, so I can't even look at you right now. I'm glad that God doesn't do that. God, on the other hand, does this. You messed up, son. Run to me. Run back to me. Come back to me. Jesus is constantly affirming that his love for us, it's not based on our performance. And when we go after sin or we do things that are displeasing to the Lord, we suffer the consequence, yes. And we suffer maybe many scars in life. But the good news about Jesus, we can run back to God. And as David ended this psalm, he says at the beginning in Psalm 143, verse 1, he's asking God to hear his prayer. He ends it by saying, God, I am your servant. Wow. If you know Christ is your Savior, we're his servants. Amen. The New Testament word for that is the word bondslave. Paul, the servants of Jesus Christ. Paul, Timotheus, the servants, literally the bondslaves. What's meant was they were a slave by choice. So David is... he's praying. When he can't take another step, we get another sense of the anguish that is in his heart with another psalm that really runs along with this Psalm 143. Go back to Psalm 77 for a moment. In Psalm 77, we see another psalm where David, he's overwhelmed to overpower the thoughts, emotions, and senses of. Sometimes trials will do that. Sometimes, look up here for a minute. Sometimes trials will knock you flat on your face. They'll take the breath out of you. You say, yeah, but if a person was spiritual, no.
Here's what I've learned about trials as well. Sometimes here's what we have to do in the trial. And you may want to write this down, or you may want to memorize this statement I'm about to make to you. Sometimes when we go through trials, may it be imperative that we understand something to look for meaning in the pain. May we look for meaning in the pain. Now that statement is actually a statement that means meaning in the suffering. You know where that statement came from? That statement came out of the concentration camps of the Jewish people were in concentration camps, and many of them were dying. And there was a psychiatrist, I forget his name. If I remembered his name, I would quote his name because you could look it up. I read it in a book this week. This psychiatrist who was in that same concentration camp made this statement. He said, the ones that survived, the Jews that lived, the Jews that did not succumb to the test, to the trial, the Jews that made it, were those that understood. They looked at it and tried to find meaning in the suffering. So that's where that statement comes from. You say, yeah, but Pastor, sometimes, I mean, there are many times in life that we go through trials and we turn inward, don't we? And I'll be the first to raise my hand. There are some times in life we go through trials and tests and we start feeling sorry for ourselves. You ever done? Don't raise your hand. I've done that. But as Paul says in the New Testament, James speaks of it in the New Testament, David speaks of it here in the Psalms, Psalm 143, now Psalm 77 and even 78. Look at verse 1 of 77. He says, I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear to me. Wow. Did you see that? He says, I cried. He says it twice. You'll know somebody is overwhelmed in a situation when that's all they can talk about. You ever been around people like that? You know, pray for me. Preacher, pray for me because I'm going through this situation. And it isn't 15 minutes later, they're saying the same thing about their situation. Why is that? Why are you saying that? To put them down? No. I'm saying that because that's what trials often do. They overwhelm us and it's all we can talk about. It's taken the breath out of us. It's taken the mind away from us. It's taken our sense of our thoughts. It consumes our thoughts. It's the last thing we think about when we go to bed. It's the first thing we think about when we wake in the morning. Some writers, some scholars think that Psalm 143 is a psalm that David is reflecting on when he was hiding in the cave of Adullam, running for his life. He's in that dark cave of his life with his other soldiers around him. As if I'm going to succumb to this trial. I'm going to succumb to death. Somebody's pursuing my life. And he was absolutely overwhelmed. So he cries unto God, verse 2, Psalm 77. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. I would to God every church member would read that verse. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. Oftentimes what we do as humans, and I'm telling you, I've seen this fleshed out in two churches that I've been a pastor of, where trouble comes into a family, trouble comes into an individual believer, and what they do is they don't run to Jesus in the church, they run away from it. They run out into the world. They run here and they run there. And they'll say things like this, preacher, oh, preacher, I'm just too overwhelmed. I can't come to church right now. I'm just too emotional. If there's ever a point in your life that you need a church to help you, it's those times in your life. Don't let the devil get you running away from the Lord and the Lord's church. Verse 2, my soul ran in the night and I ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. Wow. Wow. My soul refused to be comforted. The thing about trials and the thing about difficult trials, overwhelming trials. You know, some trials are, you know, they don't take the life out of you, but other trials do. And some trials, and the psalmist says, he says, I literally refuse to be comforted. I couldn't find comfort anywhere. You say, Pastor, what do you do when you don't know what to do? Ready for this? Do right. Do right. You say, preacher, what do you do when you don't feel like coming to church? You come to church. What do you do when you don't feel like reading your Bible? You read your Bible. What do you do when you don't feel like praying? You pray. What do you say? But pastor, but that's easier said than done. No, listen, it takes discipline. Amen? It takes discipline in your life to stay faithful to God in the midst of a trial and not succumb to it to where the enemy wins. It takes discipline. It takes more. Listen to this. It takes more than talking about it. Well, I'm gonna this and I'm gonna that. You know what? You can talk. I've seen people that will talk about things for decades. But that's all they do. They talk about it. They don't do anything about it. They just talk about it. Oh, I'm gonna serve Jesus. All you do is talk about it. Oh, I'm gonna be faithful. All you do is talk about it. You don't do anything. So what does it take to love Jesus? What does it take to be disciplined? What does it take to not allow a trial to pull us away from our fellowship with God? What does it take? It takes discipline in your life to do things at seasons in your life when you don't even want to do it. And you heard me say that correctly. You said, preacher, you mean there's times in your life that you didn't want to go to church? Yes, there has been times in my life when I didn't want to go to church. You say, so what did you do? You still go to church. You say, I can't believe you would say that. Well, I hope you hear my heart in this. It takes discipline. You say, well, I just don't feel. Please understand this statement. We build too much. We lay foundations on wrong things. And one of the wrong things to lay a foundation on is your stinking emotions. You don't lay foundations on emotions. You know why? Because emotions change. Do they not? You may feel like, well, I just don't feel. I just don't feel. It's not about feeling. Feelings change. It's amazing how you can, even, and I joke sometimes about marriage. You know, even in marriage, sometimes feelings change in marriage. Sometimes you can get angry. Sometimes you can have intense fellowship. So what do? Do we base our love on feeling, or do we base our love on a discipline of choosing to love somebody? That's what we should do. We come to church. Why? Because we feel like it? No, because it's a discipline we should have in our life, because we know that's what God wants for our lives. That's what we do. You say, oh, pastor, it's easy for you. Easy to say. Oh, you have no idea. God's an amazing God. Don't allow the devil to get your focus off of Christ and get you away from Jesus, because I promise you, you get your eyes off of Jesus, you run into the world, you'll be running longer than you ever dreamed you would run. Mark it down. Mark it down, friend. You'll run longer than you ever imagined. Look at the text. Psalm 77. My soul refused to be comforted. Verse 3. I remembered God and was troubled. Wow. I complained. My spirit was overwhelmed. Selah. The word Selah is a musical word. It means musical pause. It just simply means to stop and think about it. He shared some things from his heart. Look at Psalm 78, verse 1. He says, give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old. Psalm 78, verse 3. Which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works that he hath done. For he established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel when he commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. Look at verse 7. That they might set their hope in God. Underline that in your Bible. What does he want the fathers to teach? What does he want the parents to teach the kids and their kids and their kids and their kids? Here's what he wants them to do. To set their hope, not in themselves, but their hope is in God and God alone. Because if our hope is in our emotion, ain't going to last. If our hope is in undisciplined lives, it's not going to last. But if our hope is in Jesus, you'll be all right. You didn't hear me. If our hope is in Jesus Christ, you'll be okay in the trial. Trials, you know what's great also about a trial? They pass eventually. You know, I was reading some things tonight. I was looking up some thoughts. I'm going to look up some more on it. But one of the definitions of overwhelmed, it's like a wave, you know, hitting a shore and just overwhelming the shore. My wife and I, it's probably been about 10 years ago now, we went to Hawaii with another couple in the church. And we were, we were having a great time. Tracy and Mike Shear was the other couple we went with. And we were, I don't know what they call it, belly boarding, is that what they call it? When you got a belly like mine, you can use it as a board, man, I'm telling you. But we were doing that little boogie or belly, whatever they call it thing. And Mike was telling me, he said, "Preacher," he said, just be ready. He said, because the thing about waves, now stay with me on this, this is awesome. The thing about waves is, he said, they come in sets. You know, oftentimes when you, so we think about that for a minute, and now I'll apply this to life. You know, sometimes trials, let me ask you a personal question. You don't answer out loud, don't even raise your hand on this. Just stay with me on this. Just stay engaged with me for a second on this statement. Have you ever noticed that when you're in the middle of a trial, it seems like it's one wave after another wave, after another wave, after another wave, doesn't it? One thing I learned about, they say about the waves that they come in sets, and they can come in sets of seven, and they, I mean, on and on and on. But they say often the biggest wave is right in the middle of the set. Now think with me for a minute. So what does that tell us? When you get in the middle of the trial, when God gets you to the very middle of it, he's going to get you through it. It's not going to overtake you. So here we are, Mike and I, we're on the beach there. We're doing this, and man, we got our I don't know what they call them. We got those suit things on, you know, makes you float. Scuba diving stuff. Were we scuba diving? No, we'd been snorkeling. So here we are. And he told me, he said, "Preacher," he said, "if a wave is taller than you," he said, "don't try to jump over it. Go through it." So I was like, "All right, I got this. I registered this in my mind. Don't go over the wave. Just go through the wave. Jump right through it." Now, it goes against every fiber of your being to see it coming in. I'm 6'3". Cameron's 6'12". But I'm 6'3", and this wave's coming in, and I see it, and it's taller than I am. It was probably 4,000 feet tall. At least that's what it seemed. And Mike did what he said for me to do. He jumped right through it. I didn't do that. I did my little bunny hop and tried to jump over it. Guess what happened? It barrel rolled me, son. Honestly, it barrel rolled me and threw me out on the beach. It took me down. I scraped my knees on the sand on the bottom. I thought I was dying. I come up. The waves had stopped and it was calm water. I look at Mike. He can't catch his breath from laughing so hard. He said, "Preacher, you didn't do what I told you." You know what? People can get hurt doing that. Literally get hurt. That's what's so great about being a big guy. A little skinny person, they'd still be looking for you. Amen. I mean, I was flopped out I know what you're saying, a whale on the beach. That's why I don't lay out on the beach, because when I do, people come running up on me and throw wet towels on me and start putting water and try to roll me back into the water thinking they can save me. What's the point? I chose to try to jump over it as opposed to go through it. Had I went through it, I would have come out on the other side, okay. But I didn't do that. Trials, you can't go around them. You can't go over them. You've got to go through them. But I promise you, with the help of God in your life, you'll be okay. You'll be okay. You say, "Well, preacher, and you know something else we do with trials? When we're in the middle of a trial, All we can see is that trial. And we see other people and we think, man, my trial is bigger than their trial. Our trials to us are that 10-foot wave, 9-foot, 8-9-foot wave. Our trials to us are just overwhelming. But to other people that go through it, we must look and say, you know what? Wow, they went through it. They came out all right. God's got this. The Lord Jesus is okay with it. He's got me in his arms. He's got me. He's protecting me. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. What do I do when I can't take another step? Trust him. Just trust him. He hasn't brought you this far to let you down. He hasn't brought you this far to abandon you. You say, preacher, now let me ask you this question. Don't raise your hand. Have you ever gone through a trial and got mad at God over it? You say, I would never admit that. Well, you might as well if you have, because he knows your thoughts. Amen. I mean, there's been times in my life that I've said, God, I don't understand this. Lord Jesus, I mean, if it's a sin in my life, God, I repent of. And it's not sin. Maybe it's just service. Maybe you're wearying service. But here's what I've learned about my Lord. He brings us through situations not for our glory, but for his. So that when the world looks at us, they don't see how powerful people we are. We're able to shout and proclaim glory to his name. He was the one and the only one that enabled me to make it. How are you making it tonight? I hope you're making it by the Lord Jesus. Man, there is so much in this passage. Look at 77 again, Psalm 77. Verse 4, you want to see a soul that's overwhelmed? Look at verse 4 of Psalm 77. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. Then look what he says. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. Wow. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. Now, one of the dangers when people go through trials, if we're not careful, we can be like Job's friends, right? I don't suggest you being like Job's friends were. Job was going through trial, and they showed up, and they're like, dude, what's God trying to teach you? Dude, there's got to be sin in your life. You know, don't do that. And also, when somebody goes through a trial, and it's a deep trial to them, don't look at them with contempt. Say, yeah, you just, man, just suck it up. You know, just be a man about it. Just be a woman. No, pray for them. Love them. If possible, help them carry their burden. And the Lord Jesus will use you to do amazing things, because I've also seen trials. I've seen people succumb to them and get out of the Lord, get out of fellowship with the Lord Jesus. Look what else he says in Psalm 77. So troubled, I cannot speak. Verse 5, I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. What do we know about night? It's very dark in the night. You know, it's amazing. My wife and I just recently, we were going somewhere. I don't remember the context, but we were going somewhere that we had only driven during the daytime. And now at this time, we're driving, and it's nighttime. And my wife says to me, she says, I don't recognize, this. None of this looks familiar. She said, are you sure this is the right way? Well, I knew it was the right way because I had driven in the daytime. And even though now it was nighttime, I knew it was the right way. And see, but often in night, here's what happens in the nighttime experiences of our lives. Man, we get disoriented. We get turned upside down. We can't see up from down and right to left. We cannot see anything. But we have to trust, and you've heard me say this, I tell you, not to be redundant, not to be repetitive in this, but please hear this. What do you do when you can't see light at the end of the tunnel? You have to listen for his voice. You don't look for a light. You listen for his voice. If you've trusted Christ as your Savior, if you've repented of your sin and placed your faith and trust in Christ and his death, burial, and resurrection, and God has saved you, he's born you again, look up here for a minute. You're his child. If you're born again, you are his child. And he speaks to his children. On the authority of the Bible, he speaks to his children. So we listen for his voice. And as Wayne Cordero, I love his statement. He said, God, may you quiet every voice but your own. In the midst of trials, it's good to pray something like that. Lord Jesus, please quiet every voice but your own right now in this trial. Sometimes in trials, people mean well, but sometimes in trials, people will give you advice and it's not biblical. What do you do with that? You don't be mean-spirited to them. You just let it go in one ear and out the other. But you just have to rest in God. You say, that's easier said than done, preacher. Well, look what else he says in these verses. Verse 6, I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart. And my spirit made diligent search. Look at that. My spirit made diligent search. When he says, I commune with my own heart, he says, I ponder diligently. I began to meditate. I began to ponder my own life. I began to look over, and he talks about the old times, the ancient times, the days of old. He looks back over his life. There's no doubt in my mind, he's looking back over his life from the early days of his walk with God, and he began to reflect on that. What do you do in trials? Look back over the past. Look back over the past of your life. See the times that God has showed himself strong. Question for you. Has God ever showed himself strong in your life? Amen, man. Yes, he has. He showed himself strong in my life many, many occasions. So in the midst of the trial, just please hold on to hope that he will show himself strong one more time. I was talking to a preacher yesterday. And this preacher had been really discouraged, and we were talking, and man, he was doing really well. And I told him, I said, brother, I said, to God be the glory. I said, that's wonderful. But what do we do in trial? In the middle of a trial, we don't think we'll ever live again, right? In the middle of a trial, we don't think, remember the Psalms? He says, songs in the night. He said, look at the text. Man, this is all introduction, and we'll never finish it tonight. Not trying to. Look at it. Psalm 77, 6. I call to remembrance my song in the night. You know what trials will do? Trials will take the song out of you. Trials will take the song out of you. But what do we know about these psalms? Well, look at the text. Verse 7. Will the Lord cast off forever? You ever said this in the trial? Will it ever end? Will this thing ever end? Emotional. Remember the definition? Overwhelmed emotionally. Your thoughts, your emotions, everything about you is just overwhelmed. It's overtaken. Your trial overtakes your mind, your thoughts. You say, preacher, man, it makes it sound like it never gets better. Oh, it gets better. If your hope is in the Lord. If your hope is in yourself, it's not going to get better. If your hope is in the Lord, God's going to see it the past. God's going to bless. He'll give you a song in the night. You'll be singing again. What's the context? Here's the context. The Psalms was known as the Jewish hymn book. We sang songs, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever, forever. We sang songs like, it is well with my soul. But to the Jews, they would make their yearly pilgrimages back to the temple, which is a place of where God dwelled. And they made those pilgrimages back. And what they would do is they literally would take these psalms and they would sing them. They would sing these psalms. Now think with me for a moment. David's in a trial. In Psalm 142, Psalm 143, Psalm 77, I think even in 78, he uses the word overwhelmed. He's overwhelmed. In the middle of a trial, he's overwhelmed. But here's what's remarkable about God and God's Word. Remember what I told you? They would take these psalms and they would sing them on their pilgrimage journeys. What is God's desire for... I really think this is a scriptural principle. What is God's desire in your trial? Is to bring you through it with tremendous victory that one of these days... you won't be embarrassed to sing about it. You won't be embarrassed to sing about it. It's as if you could write it down and say, you know what? This was my trial. This is what it looked like. It was dark. David said in Psalm 143, he says, it was so bad. It was like somebody that had been dead a long time. What happens to somebody that's been dead a long time? Man, they become pale. There's no life in them. That's the definition of dead. There's no life. It's the absence of life. He says, as if there was no life in me anymore. It's not just that I was dead. It's as I've been dead a long time. Dark, cold, lifeless, no emotion. What used to require no effort now took perspiration. What used to require, what used to be jubilation now was perspiration. It took work. It took discipline. It took diligence in my life. David said, I sought with my heart, I sought him diligently. I pondered in my heart. Will you be able to sing again? I promise you, if your hope is in Jesus, you will be. You will be. You say, preacher, why are you preaching on trials? Because my God is an amazing God. He's an amazing God. He's an amazing, amazing Savior that even in the midst of a trial, He will not abandon His kids. And at the end of it, you'll be able to say, Lord Jesus, hear my prayer. Oh God, I'm your servant. I'm not a servant to self any longer. That's what happens when people go through trials. Many times, sadly, that can happen. We become a servant to self. And David, in the midst of his trial, he wasn't a servant to self. He was a servant to Jesus. God, I'm your servant. Even in the middle of the trial. Even in the middle of the trial, God, Lord, please hear my prayer. Why? Because of your righteousness. Why, God? Because nobody would be justified without you. What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Lord Jesus, hear my prayer. In the midst of a trial, I'm your servant. God, I want to remember the old days. I can remember how God, you, and that'll help you in a trial. Just go back in your mind and remember how God helped you through. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't abandoned you. He hasn't let you go. He's still got you. You're still in His care. But sometimes, man, it's only because of discipline built in your life that you can even be faithful to church. It's only because of discipline in your life that you can pray. It's only because it's a discipline in your life that you can read your Bible. It's only because of discipline that has been built in your life that you're able to sing the songs when you're weeping on the inside. You're able to sing the songs with a smile because you know that Jesus Christ is real, even though you don't feel Him right now. So, preacher, you mean to tell me there can come times when you don't feel? There comes times in life that you don't even feel that you're saved. He says, I can't believe you'd say that. But please understand, my salvation is not based on my feeling. It's based on the fact of His Word. That's what it's based on. Don't go by feelings. They change. You can't trust always. You can't trust your senses. They'll let you down. They'll fail you.
We hope you've been blessed by Pastor Tracy Harold's message today. If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.